Good morning, Ebenezer and friends. It is so good to be back with you as we connect again on this virtual connection. God has just been so good to us. Anybody blessed to know that the Lord loves us? Yes, He loves us. In spite of our issues and our struggles, He loves us. If you are blessed by that, can you just give God some praise? Put some emoticons in the chat, lift up those hands, just thanking Him for another day that He has bestowed His love upon us. The other day, I heard this song, and I don't know the background of the artist. I don't know really a lot about the song. It was Moon River. And in that Moon River, seems to be talking about a love relationship. And that as he's singing this song, Frank Ocean, I think that's his name. He's talking about, you know, as we go down that river, that sea of life in the moon, wherever you go, I go. And I think about that in comparison into the Lord. He said that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's what we're going to talk about today. If you see the backdrop, have you ever felt like you're in a crowd of people, but yet you're alone? You felt like, hey, there's something I just don't fit in this group. We're going to deal with that through the scriptures as we get back to the basics. We've got so much on at ebcnc.com to help you grow. First of all, we are living epistles. As we walk through our days on our jobs, as we're interacting with the world community, we are an example of Christ. We are walking Bibles. And I encourage you, don't take that for granted. And so we've got a lot of things during the week to edify us. That's to build us up. So on Mondays, we have Monday Manna. I don't know if you were able to see our last marriage / finance. We did a finance with the Hamptons, and it was a fun time. So if you haven't checked that out, it's not just for married couples. It's for everybody to learn a little bit about finances and how the Lord has blessed me in my life, and it's been built on the Word of God. Bianca and I, we have just learned more and more as we get older to just trust the Lord, because some things we couldn't see when we first got married and first had kids, now we can look back and say, God, you were right. And we just praise Him for the wisdom that He's deposited in these 66 books. Consequently, that's why we have so many Bible studies. On Tuesday, we have our noonday Bible study where we're going through the book of Genesis and getting good history and foundation to even understand our New Testament scriptures. On Wednesday, we have just crossed over from the book of Luke. So at 7 o'clock on that virtual connection, ebcnc.com, we're going through the book of Hebrews. And so I am just thinking about that, and we're going to grow together as we deal with the high priest, who is Jesus the Christ. And then on Thursdays, we have our in-person Bible study from 6 to 7, where we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm telling you, it's been challenging as we've been seeing our lives, and the Holy Spirit has been in the room, just really dealing with our hearts. And then as always, please, please, please continue to pray for our 8:45 in-person service, 10:45 in-person service, and our 10 o'clock online. The Lord's just doing so many things, and I am just grateful to His graciousness within our lives. I want to thank you for your giving. Ebenezer has been blessed. We have hold forth that scripture that says that we can purpose in our heart. We can give not grudgingly or of necessity, but because God loves a cheerful giver. That next verse actually talks about that He actually provides for us, that we can be prepared for every good work. And when you start walking with the Lord, you start to realize, Lord, thank you. In spite of where you are, in spite of your struggles, know that our God is so good. Can you put in the chat, so good, our God is so good. Well, I am ready to get into God's word. I want your hearts to be prepared as we just go into a time of worship and focus, scripture, and also song. And then after that, we're going to get into the word today, going back to the basics. And we just ask God's Spirit to speak to our hearts. We'll see you soon.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. And O saints of God, listen to this one. Create in me, a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. A right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I'm going to end there. Have the word of God in your heart. God bless you. Amen.
You cause me no alarm, 'cause I'm safe in His arms. Even though your rain falls, I must still make this call. Let the air be peace. Now I can say, go away. I command you to move today because of faith. I have a brand new day. The storm will come and I will be okay. And that's what I told the storm. The sun will shine, and I will be
Isn't it so good to know that the Lord is with us through the storm, in the storm, when we come out of the storm, He is always there. And so I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, that God is faithful. Well, we're getting back into this series, Back to the Basics. We've been actually picking out subtopics that were given to me, actually from our young generation. They came up with these topics and thoughts, kind of did a survey within the congregation of some topics that I've gone over in these last 24, almost 25 years, and kind of circling around, people wanted to have more detail on those. So it has been a blessed journey for me. I want to get to our memory scripture. We've been saying this, repeating this out loud so it can get into our minds and seep into our hearts. So let's go to James 1:26. If you don't mind reading this out loud with me. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Isn't that good? Today's subtopic that we're going to transition into, we've been dealing with salvation, but we're going to talk about, and this was a big one that someone brought to me, sanctification. Yes, sanctification. The Greek foundation of sanctification, I wanted to bring out to really rest the definition before we get into the scripture today of this big word. If you're from a Pentecostal background, often when you say sanctification, you think speaking in tongues or dressing in white. From others, you're like, sanctification, what does that mean? So we want to just give you a basic definition of this. Sanctification is the concept of being set apart as sacred. Again, the concept of being set apart as sacred. Just a brief illustration. I got some grapes that are here, and all the grapes are the same. And so to be sanctified literally is to pull out one of the grapes and set it to the side. That is the sanctification. So you got all the grapes that look alike, but we're going to pull it aside and we're going to set it aside for sacredness. Of course, this should be our lives as Christians, but so often we take for granted that God can take us deeper in Him. And that's where we're going today. So let's go in a word of prayer. Let's welcome God's presence in this place. We sense Him that He'll speak to our hearts. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for you being God and God alone, especially in our society, our community, our world. So much is going on. But Lord, you've left us here for a purpose. I pray that if there's someone today, Father, that does not know you, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a wonderful gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift. Now, Holy Spirit, we thank you for cleansing us, and I ask you for forgiveness of sins, Lord, for all of us on my behalf, so that we can receive the word today. So, Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Lord, we thank you for who you are again. In Jesus' name, amen. In the chat, can you say amen? Wherever you're sitting, standing, say amen. Well, today, as we get into the scriptures, we are going to progress to the book of John. Yes, the Gospel of John. I want us to go to around that 17th chapter and the 17th verse. And Jesus is going to teach us on sanctification. Yes, that big theological word that means to be separated, set aside for sacredness. And that's what we're going to look at today. So that John 17:17, it reads, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." I want to speak from a title today, Chosen. Yes, chosen. So if you're taking notes, write that down in the chat. Put chosen, because I really want you to connect with this whole thought pattern of sanctification. And literally, sanctification is being chosen, being picked out, set aside for sacredness. Let's go ahead and jump into this section of scriptures. Jesus has been training his disciples. Now, contextually, where we're going to start out today, he is talking explicitly to his disciples, those who are around him at that time. But we're going to make some comparisons. I believe that we're going to be in this section of scriptures for two Sundays as we're thinking about sanctification, but I want us to be able to apply the things that he's speaking to his disciples. And eventually, as they are transferred that title of apostleship, which means to be sent out, they're going to go out and share the good news. Let's jump into this section. Time frame is about 33 AD. Jesus has wound up that earthly ministry and giving his final encouraging words before he goes to the cross of Calvary. And then after he gets up on that third day, he's going to be seated on the right hand of the Father. He's going to give the gift of the Holy Spirit. John 17 and 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. At seventh verse, now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. Our first point of the day, connected to Jesus. Yes, connected to Jesus. I think we do miss out so often that we have a cord. Jesus talks about that he is the vine, and we're connected into him. And the only way that we can produce fruit is to be connected, to stay connected to Jesus. Jesus states in John 10:27 about really knowing who he is as we deal with that thought of sanctification. My sheep hear my voice, and they know them, and I know them, and they follow me. I want to read that again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. To be sanctified is literally connecting with the Lord and following his voice wherever he leads you. To be sanctified, as we know it, even in our lives, is to keep that thought pattern of being connected to Jesus. Look at this, John 17:6, that first part again. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. Now, this is critical here. And the question I ask you, do you know the name? Do you know the name? And I know some of you are like, Jesus, that's his name. And it is, but it's more than just being able to say Jesus. We know that there's power in the name of Jesus. I've been in sick rooms and called on the name of Jesus. Some of you have testimony and you've seen God show up and show out. But we want to dig in even deeper to that name and what it means to sanctification. Theologian McDonald, he writes this. Listen to this. The name in Scripture means the person, his attributes and character. Christ had fully declared the Father's true nature. So when we become connected to Christ, we really embrace sanctification. We stand for everything that Christ stood for. We're connected to Christ, and we're literally being transformed. One of my favorite scriptures, Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Chosen. We're chosen. We are separated. We're set aside for the sacredness of God. John 17:8, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them. And I have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Here's the next point. Walking in the word. Yes, walking in the word. This is so important. It's so easy in this society to get sidetracked, to find ourselves walking in worldly ways because the enemy is doing such a dynamic job of pushing out his stuff, pushing out his advertisement. But for the saints, we have to determine to seek the Lord while he may be found. We have to determine to stay in prayer, and the adversary is coming against us. To be sanctified is to cherish God's Word. Can you put in the chat, cherish, cherish, wherever you're standing, sit and say, cherish. I want to cherish. I want to fall in love with God's word. Are you reading God's word on a daily basis? That's a part of the sanctification process. Did you search out the scriptures for daily living? You know, when you're going through something, are you opening up the scriptures or asking someone to help you and assist you and giving you a scripture to really order yourself? That's what walking in the word is all about. The Spirit speaks in Proverbs 4:20, one of my favorite books. Early on in our children's lives and our lives, we would read a proverb every day. There are 31 proverbs, so if it was the 8th or the 9th or the 10th, that was the day we'd read that particular chapter. And we still go back to it from time to time just to get wisdom nuggets. But notice in that Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Being chosen. Notice how the Lord leads us to this a higher level of this sanctification thought. John 17:9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Here's the next point. Jesus is praying for us. That there ought to be some shouts of praise to know that Jesus is praying for us. I remember coming to Ebenezer as a very young man. Bianca and I, a married couple, and I had 1.5 children at that time, maybe 2.5. The Lord was just doing a lot in our lives. And we would go to people and they was like, Pastor, what would you, what do you need? And I was like, I need you to pray for me. And there'd be some little old ladies and big old ladies to come forth and say, Pastor, I am praying for you. And I've always cherished that. But to know that Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, is praying for me, is praying for you, I tell you, that should cause you to run around your living room, to lift up your hands, to thank the Lord for who he is and what he's doing. We must never forget that Jesus' prayers mean so much. Romans 8:34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Listen to this. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Praying for us. He is on our behalf, lifting up prayers to the Father, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, that we can succeed and we will continue to be sanctified. Yes, yes, I want you to be able to say today, I am sanctified. I am chosen. Hebrews 7:25 talks about it even further. Therefore, he also is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives, here it is, to make intercession for them. Do you realize Christ, the anointed one, his calling is to pray for us? How can we not be sanctified? How can we not be separated? How can we not walk in this chosenness? Look at John 17:11. Now, I am no longer in the world, Jesus said, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, I keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. John 17:12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Here's a point. He is a keeper. Yes. He is a keeper. I am so glad to know he's praying for us in this sanctification process. He keeps us in this sanctification process. Notice John 17:12, that first part. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Jesus' total calling was to come from heaven to earth. We're going to talk about it a little later, walk among men, but to keep us, to bring forth the people that would be chosen out of, because they confessed them with their mouth and believed in their heart. And then he said, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, and that sanctification process is going to work even more in you. Even though Christ now is with the Father, he's allowed us to walk in his power. Can you put in the chat power, power, his power in our lives? And we do, as we walk through our days, sometimes we forget, if it had not been for the Lord on our side. John 14:16, it says, and I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Can you put in the chat helper? That's the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That is sanctification. I am telling you, as believers, the only way that we can truly believe in the Lord is to have the gift of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. That comes automatically, because now we're empowered, as said earlier, to walk in that sanctification, to be separated for sacredness, for holiness. Because we know that the Lord keeps us, we can really identify with Hebrews 13:5. Look at this. Let your conduct be without covetousness, because be content with such things as you have. For he himself says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that good? We've been talking about that. To know, even as we're going through being chosen and the sanctification, God says, I'm with you all the way. Hebrews 13:6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He's a keeper. I will not fear. What can man do? When we got God on our side, when God has set us aside as sacred, man, we can praise him in the midst of the storm. We can lift up our hands and say, Lord, I just want to worship you right now. We can praise him in the midst of the pain, no matter what the doctors have told you. We can praise him in the midst of money issues, because we know God as a provider. He has set us aside. He has chosen us. Look at John 17:13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy. Can you put in the chat, my joy, because that's going to be important, fulfilled in themselves. I want to read that again, because this is one of my favorite points. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Here's the point. Jesus joy. Yes, Jesus joy. I want you to put that in chat. Can you do that for me? Jesus joy. I just like the way it looks. I like the way it feels. I like the way it sounds. Jesus joy. That is a part of the sanctification, a process in our lives. Jesus joy. We experience the joy of the Lord. You know the scripture, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Sanctification, as we walk in God, we realize, man, God has chosen me. He set me aside. And so now I got joy on the inside of me. The Apostle Peter speaks it like this, led of the Spirit in 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice. Here it is, with joy inexpressible. I should have you type that, but I just want to say joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You know that you're involved in sanctification when you got joy. When you got joy, there's sometimes you don't even know why you got joy, but now you can connect with it. It's because Jesus' joy is on the inside, and that's just a product of being chosen of God. Are you experiencing that right now? Are you feeling something in your heart, knowing that God is good? I just want to give you a character analysis. You remember Job of the Old Testament? Job is a strange figure, because he comes before really the gifting of the Holy Spirit, but yet he had an encounter with God. And in spite of losing just about everything in his life, he says this in Job 13:15, because he was chosen. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before the Lord. He said, Lord, I don't like where I am. I don't like the loss that has occurred, but because I'm chosen, because I realize I have been sanctified to be sacred. I have been set aside to be sacred before you. I'll trust you. Though you slay me, I'll trust you. And in our lives, there's so many things we don't understand, but we got Jesus' joy on the inside. And we say, God, I trust you. And I found out in the midst of our struggles, if we can get to that point of saying, God, I trust you because you've chosen me, I'm telling you, the enemy will have to step back, because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Are there any praise and worshipers out there? I tell you, when we think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for us, I often say, if he never does anything else, are there any testimonies out there? He's already done more than enough. He's chosen us for sanctification. Look at that. John 17:14. I have given them your word, Jesus said, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. This is a heavy concept, but I really want you to lean into this. The point is, this place is not our home. Yes, this place is not our home. Saints, it's a tough concept, because the other night I was there. I listened to the State of the Union, President Biden, and the things that he had to say. I saw the camaraderie that was going on, and I saw the divisiveness that was going on between different parties within the room, and I heard people who disagreed and those who agreed, and how they cheered. But there was something about I am American, and I love that. I served in the military armed forces, and I've been blessed by that, to be able to be used in that capacity. But as I'm thinking more, as I really embrace sanctification, I'm realizing this place is not my home. I'm telling you, I'm excited about being here in the United States of America. I thank the Lord for the freedoms that we do have. I've never taken that for granted. But as a Christian, I'm seeing the ideologies are going to left field. They're going away from what God has for a Christian nation. We realize that is a change long time ago. We're really not a Christian nation. We're really filled with a bunch of heathenism and desires, and we're easily enticed, as James said. But for the sanctified, for those who are saved, for those who love the Lord, I want you to never take for granted the goodness of God. This place is not our home. The Spirit speaks strongly in 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, this is that sanctification, stepping through that, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. You're feeling that as we grow in the Lord, as we're in God's word, as the transformation process, the sanctification is taking place, we start to lose some of the taste of this world. We realize this place is not my home. There's got to be a better place. And the scriptures has described that, to be with Jesus for eternity. 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. To be sanctified is to walk in God's will. Look at John 17:14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Saints, you're feeling that we are going to be outcast at times. There are more conversations that I can't be involved in. There are more places that I can't go. There are more things that I can't embrace, even on TV and on the internet, simply because I'm like, this place is not my home. It's becoming adverse to what God is doing on the inside, because I've been chosen. There ought to be some saints say chosen. Can you put in the chat chosen? I've been pulled out, and God has set me forth to be sacred for him. And I thank God that only he can do that process. All of us have sinned and fallen short, but there ought to be some saints say, when I look back over my life, I realize I've had some struggles, but when I look back and I see where God brought me from, I know that he's done a significant change in my heart. There ought to be some praises out there. Say, Lord, thank you for choosing me. 2 Corinthians 5:20 really brings up this thought that this place is not our home. Now then, we are ambassadors. I'm going to challenge you in the chat. Can you put ambassador? I know you're like, Pastor, could you spell that? A-M-B-A-S-S-A-D-O-R-S. Ambassadors means that literally the place that you reside in is not your original place. You're just passing through for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf be reconciled to God. This is good. I'm talking about being chosen, that sanctification. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Since he's chosen us, since he separated us for sacredness, sanctified us, we can never ever take that immense grace that he's given us for granted. I'm telling you, Hebrews 13:14-15 out of the New Living Translation, it really grabs. This place is not our home because we've been chosen. It says, for this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. I just want to give you a little bit of time now just to go ahead and give him some praise. Just lift up your hands, stomp your feet, and say, Lord, thank you for choosing me. Thank you for loving me in spite of. Thank you for taking me through sanctification. Let's sum this up in these final verses. John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Here's the final point. Many are called, but few are chosen. Yes, many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus made this profound statement in the scriptures in Matthew 22:14. He said, for many are called, but few are chosen. That means in this sanctification, God said, you know what? I want to do something in all of you, but there are few that is saying, Lord, I surrender all. I was singing, I surrender all this morning. And that's a hard song. There's sometimes I skip over pieces and parts and say, I want to surrender all, or I just got to keep quiet. But to surrender all really embraces. You actually put your arms around sanctification. Say, Lord, here I am. I need you to choose me. I need you to set me aside for sacredness so that I can be used for your glory. To be sanctified is mean, God, I want to go up another level in you. I want to fall more in love with you. I have a saying in my prayers, even for my wife and my family, specifically for my wife. I said, God, only give me eyes for her. That's what Job had said. And I thank God for that, because that produces love on the inside. But I'm saying, God, only give me eyes for you in love relationship to a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he's going to take me through all eternity. And that's what sanctification is all about. Pastor John MacArthur, he had this wonderful thought on sanctification. He said, the idea of sanctification is the setting apart of something for a particular use. Accordingly, believers are set apart for God and his purposes alone, so that the believer does only what God wants and hates all that God hates. And so the question I ask you today, do you hate what God hates, and do you love what God loves? Because that is what sanctification is all about. I'm so glad, as we look at John 17:17 again, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true. I thank God, but his word has done so much in our hearts, and it is producing sanctification because we've been chosen. As we dig into God's word and apply it to our lives, separation is about being on mission for God. Can you put in the chat mission, wherever you're standing, say mission? Christ has been the manifested one throughout all ages, because he is the word. I'm so glad that takes my mind back to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. I'm talking about being chosen today. Yes, that same Jesus came from heaven to earth, walked among men, healed the sick and raised the dead, taught like none other. But aren't you glad for him choosing for us to go to the cross of Calvary, to carry our sins and to bear our griefs and our pains? Man, that's worth shouting about. But if I can just give one more example, there was one person on the cross that came to himself. Man, he slipped in at the final moments. He said, "Dude, Lord, can you choose me? Can I go to Luke 23:42? Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." I can imagine what's going through his mind. God, I can't fix what I messed up. I'm here being crucified just like you, but there's something different about you. You cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That there's something different about you. You cried out, "Finished," and you're completing all of this. The sun is refusing to shine. That there's something different about you. God, when you come into your kingdom, will you choose me? That's what he's saying. If you can just scream out wherever you are, "Chosen." But Luke 23:43, I am so glad about this, man. We can shout and run around the room right now. And Jesus said to him, "Surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." He was chosen. He was set aside for sacredness, even on the cross of Calvary. Do you know my Christ, our Christ, the anointed one, died? They put him in a cold grave, but 3 days later, he gets up with all power and glory for you and me. Now we've already taught. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for the chosen, the sanctified, those who have been delivered, those who choose to embrace him more and more as the Holy Spirit makes us more like Christ. Saints, what's your choice? We cannot be satisfied where we are, but we've got to say, "Lord, use me more and more." For those who don't know him, man, I invite you to cry out to Jesus. Man, admit your sinful ways. Admit that you need a Savior. And I'm telling you, he'll save you just like he saved me. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, said you will be saved. And then you can walk on this journey with us of sanctification, where we're set aside to be sacred for the Lord. This is a continual process that will take place until we get to meet Jesus. And I believe even in heaven, God is still going to be transforming us, that every day gets sweeter and sweeter than the day before. Saints, I want you to thank God for being chosen. And we've got to step up, that in these dark days, God can use us more and more for his glory. Would you pray with me? Father, I just thank you so much for this word today. Thank you, God, for showing us over and over again that we are chosen, that we are the sanctified. And Lord, I pray that we give ourselves away to you, that we give more and more to you, Lord, that you can use us, that more souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. I thank you for the saints, Lord, today that are stepping up and they're sharing their testimony, Lord. They're determining to be used in their chosenness. And Lord, I thank you for that immense power and anointing that you put in us via the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for dwelling in us. Father, I thank you for those who submitted to the cross today, submitted to Jesus Christ and called on him and were saved. Thank you for what only you can do. It's by grace, through faith, not of themselves. It is a gift. Thank you for that gift. Lord, we ask you to order our step as we walk into sanctification, as we know and embrace we are chosen of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Yes, you know you brought me. Yes, you brought me from a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Yes, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Yes, you know you brought me from a mighty long way, mighty long way. Yes, you've been my mother. You've been my father. You've been my sister and brother too. Lord, you know you brought me from a mighty long way, a mighty long way. Well, you've been my mother. You've been my father. You've been my sister and brother too. Lord, you know you brought me from a mighty long way. Mighty long way. Yes, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Yes, you know you brought me from a mighty long way. Oh, yes, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Yes, you know you brought me from a mighty, mighty long way, mighty long way.